Good morning. I think one of the most difficult things for us to do is to master our mind, is to master our mind and our thinking. Because we have so much coming at us all the time. You have your work, and then you have things that happen in your families, and then you have relationship issues that are around you all the time. And then sometimes crisis strikes or something you're totally not expecting, and then everything else, and then the whole time you're trying to master your thoughts. But for us that are in Christ, we learn by staying close to Him how to master our thinking.
Okay.
So there's no such thing as an emergency. I'll say that. So, okay. So let's just pray for a moment, and we'll. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, so much for this morning. Father, we thank you for Jesus, Lord, who is our Savior, who is the one that makes the way for us. We thank you, Father, that you have opened up, Lord, the door by your Holy Spirit, Father, for us to know all things, Lord God. You said that you need that no man teach you, for when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He will lead and guide you into all truth. And so, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We invite your Spirit this day to come and be with us, Lord, to minister unto every single heart in this place, and, Lord, to give them exactly what they need at this time, Father. So, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this day. We commit this time to you, Father. We leave every care, every weight, every concern, Lord, on the side, and we just come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. For the last few weeks, the messages that have been coming have been along the lines of the spirit of Elijah. Yes? And, oh, can everybody hear me in the back? Is this okay? Yes. If not, come a little closer if you can. Okay. Now, sometimes I start thinking about, okay, who are these characters in the Bible? You know, because we sometimes forget these are real people. So the Bible says that Elijah was just a man just like us. So he had the like passions, he had similar, he had concerns, he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was a person just like us. But he walked with God. And I think that's the key for when we start to see, okay, how did the standard come that he would raise up? The exposing that he did, the heart turning that Elijah did. Okay. Paul, again, as another Bible character that we read about so much, but Paul had some very serious struggles. I have a board, I have an eraser, but I need a marker. Somewhere. Okay. Okay. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 15. I'll read in English first. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to sin, or I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
ව්‍යවස්ථාවේ ක්‍රියා කරන කොටගෙන මිනිස් ධර්මිෂ්ඨ කරනු නොලබන බව දැන ව්‍යවස්ථාවේ ක්‍රියාවලින් නොව විසුසෝල්සේ කෙරෙහි ඇදහිල්ල කරන කොටගෙන ධර්මිෂ්ඨ කරනු ලබන පිණිස විසුසෝල්සේ කෙරෙහි අදහගති මොහොතක් නිසාද ව්‍යවස්ථාවේ ක්‍රියාවලින් කවර මිනිසෙක්වත් ධර්මිෂ්ඨ කරනු නොලබයි. නමුත් විසුසෝල්සේ තුළ ධර්මිෂ්ඨ කරනු ලබාට සොයමින් අපිම පවා පෞකාරයම පෙළිමුණම් විසුසෝල්සේ පාපේ සේවකේ කොනසේක. එසේ නොවේවා මක් නිසාද මා විසින් හදාගන්නට දේවල්ම මම නැවත ගුණාගන්නේ නම් මා වරදකාරිය යුතු බව මම ඔප්පු කරමි. ඇරත් මම දෙවියන් වහන්සේ උදෙසා ජීවත් වන පිණිස ව්‍යවස්ථාව කරුණ කොටගෙන ව්‍යවස්ථාවට මැරුණෙමි. මම ක්‍රිස්තුස් වහන්සේ සමග උදෙසේ එනගසනු ලැබ සිටිමි. එසේ වී නමුත් මම ජීවත් වෙමි. නමුත් කවත් මා නොව ක්‍රිස්තුස් වහන්සේ මා තුළ ජීවත් වන සේක. කවද මා දැන් මාංශයේ ජීවත් වන ජීවිතය මට ප්‍රේම කළා වූ මා උදෙසා තමන්ව පාවා දුන්නා වූ දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ උත්මයාණන් වහන්සේ කෙරෙහි ඇදහිලෙන් ජීවත් වෙමි. දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ කරුණාව නිෂ්ඵල නොකරමි. මක් නිසාද ධර්මිෂ්ඨකම ව්‍යවස්ථාව කරුණ කොටගෙන වේ නම් ක්‍රිස්තුස් වහන්සේ නිකරුණේ මනසේ.
Okay. Okay. Paul had to go through a major rewiring of his brain after he had an experience with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus.
Okay.
Basically, Paul had to go to the backside of the desert, and for 3 years, he had to try to get his mind and everything that he ever knew into now this new relationship that God had shown him about who Jesus was and who God was to him. So Paul, as a Pharisee, was doing everything that he knew how to serve and to follow God under the law. And he was serving God with all of his might the way that he thought he should. Then God stopped him and said, "Wait, why are you persecuting me? Why are you're going after and trying to hurt the very one that you think you're following and you're serving?" And so Paul had to take then everything he knew about the law and grace and God and God's relationship with his people and bring it into a new reality of who Jesus is in relationship to all the promises of God. So now in Galatians, when he's writing to the church, he's writing to people that again had the same background as he did, the same mindset that he did. And these people are now being taken advantage of by people that are using that background in the law and works and using that to try to get them again into a form of bondage. So one thing is for on a personal level, you have to be careful because people can take advantage of your life experiences and bring you into all kinds of bondages and areas that God has never intended for you. So expectations on what you should do, how you should do it, and it's none of it scriptural, but it's something that is put on you, and they say, yes, you should do it, and you've grown up around it, so you accept it. Okay, so verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. What is the faith of Jesus Christ? Do you want to write this? Okay. Now, remember, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, right?
Okay.
All right, he is the Alpha and the Omega. That's my... Okay. I think that's right. So, basically... Author, yeah. So Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, yes?
Okay.
He is the vine. If any man remains in him, He is the vine. If any man remains in him and his words remain in them, he'll bear much fruit. Yes? All right, in him we live and move and have our being, right? You're starting to see the picture. So here, Jesus is the faith. So the Bible says that appointed unto every man is a measure of faith, right? That faith that is appointed unto each person is just enough faith for you to trust and believe that God is who He said He is, to come into Jesus who is the faith. And so we live in this place of connection. All the way up to here is the throne of God. Okay. And we have direct access to the Father through Jesus. So now, what Paul is writing here in Galatians, one of the things that he's having to deal with is people that are saying, no, you can, by your own efforts and your own works, you can come out here and still get to God.
Okay.
And they're saying under the law, under the system of man-made traditions, you can still get to God. In fact, they're saying you need to, because that is not enough. What you're doing now is not enough for you to get to God. Okay. Does anybody have any questions about what you see so far? I don't want to just give you information. I want to have an exchange. If you have a question, ask, please. So we want to simplify things. I like things simple. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Verse 18 says, "For if I build again the thing which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For through the law, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Okay. Now John 15, again, was the Jesus is talking about being the vine. Says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man doesn't remain in me, he's like a branch that's broken off and thrown away." So take that and overlay that with this. Basically, anyone that comes out here to the law is broken off from Christ, and you're in a place where you're drying up. There is no life out here, there's only death. The only thing out here is a man-made system created apart from God that seeks to keep people in a place of religious control, telling them they can get to God through men and the efforts of men. Okay. Verse 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Okay, so again, when Christ comes into us, when we have been crucified with Christ, what that means is to this world we've died, and now we live in Him. He lives in us. So, again, the life that we live in the flesh, it's now, I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So again, it's Him, in the faith, who is Christ, that's Him living through me here. And so, one of the whole thing about baptism, what that's a symbol of, is being dead to the world and alive, a new birth in Christ. It's just an outward symbol. Okay. Verse 21 says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Okay. So I do not frustrate the grace of God. So what happens, people try to frustrate the grace of God when they come out here and they say, by the law we can, by the system of man we can still get to God. And what he's saying here is, if the man-made systems could get you there, then Christ didn't have to die in the first place. Okay? Okay. I have to go back to something we talked about a little while back because I want to build on it a little bit more. Alright. You remember when we talked about the temple, yes? Okay. This board is going to be messy. Okay. Okay. The Old Testament temple was a natural representation of a spiritual reality. Okay. So you had your Holy of Holies. Okay. Let me just do it like this. This is rough. Alright, so you had your Holy of Holies, which was the place where the Ark was. It was here. You had the holy place. Right. You had the outer court. Okay. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, when he died and he said, "It is finished," there was something that happened in the temple. Okay, what happened in the temple when Jesus... I saw the action in the back. Kenna. Yeah. The veil of the temple was rent in two. It was split, it says, from top to bottom. Okay. One time when I was living in Washington, D.C., there was a friend of mine who, he collected rare rugs, Persian rugs, like carpets. Like the weaving, the rugs that they throw on the ground. And the veil of the temple was not a little tiny thin like this shirt, no, you just... No, it was, the veil itself was between 3 and 4 inches thick. And it was woven like this. It was no human being, no 50 human beings could tear the thing if they tried. Have you ever tried to tear a Persian rug, like one that's like 1 inch, 2 inches thick? Yeah. Next time you go to a friend's house, go down and try. But it was a natural representation of just the fact that you were completely blocked off from what the place was that represented the presence of God. And so when Jesus in John 19 verse 30, when he says, when he's on the cross, and the last thing that he does is he says, "It is finished," and then he gives up the ghost, and he cries that out. The veil of the temple is rent in two by the very hand of God. God splits it apart. And what happens is in the spirit, he shows something in the natural. In the spirit, Jesus Christ, through him, again, in him we live, move, and have our being, the diagram I just showed you. Through him now, the way has been made straight into the very presence of God. So through Jesus, what has happened is we can go straight in to the very, very presence of God. So no more person that we have to go through, no more curtain, nothing like that. Okay, remember when we talked about the curse of the law? What was the curse of the law? Quiz time. Ultimately, the curse of the law was this. You needed a man to get to God. You needed someone to stand at between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. You needed someone there to go in to make offerings and sacrifices for you once a year with the blood of goats to sprinkle it on the altar. You had to have somebody help you get to God. And what Jesus did away with was you ever needing a person to be able to access the Father for yourself. So the curse of the law is that what happens is man, again, now I want to bring it back into modern day times. What has happened many times is people now have taken a needle and thread. They've gone and they've stitched back up the veil. They stand in front and say, no, you still need me to get to God. So they stand in front and they say, no, you need me for a healing prayer. You need me to be able to confirm what God is directing you to do with your life. Do you see? Are you starting to see this? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Now let's talk a little bit about this. You remember when I talked to you about different servants in the body of Christ and different roles? Okay, I like to go back to this one because this is the big five that everybody talks about, no? Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Okay. Now, how I said it last time was, okay, He's referring specifically to one part of the body. So I have some fingers. I have some toes. I have some kneecaps, no? I have some elbows. I have two eyes. I have some eyes. Right? Okay, so this is not a special group as such. But he's referring to something that has certain responsibilities in the body of Christ. Because I really want you to understand this, because again, in Peter, when we discuss that, we are all a royal priesthood. So Jesus is the high priest that we live and move and have our being in Him. And the rest of us are all part of this royal priesthood that are in connection with Him. Okay, so, but now here are some people with specific responsibility in the body of Christ. Okay, what is their job? Let's keep going, shall we? Alright, for, he gave some to do this, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, Ephesians 4 verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up and into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so I like this word in in verse 15 it says, so that you may grow up. The purpose of these ministries, if they are actually functioning under the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is to help you to grow up into spiritual maturity. And basically, if you are growing up, every single interaction that you have with these people should make you less dependent on them than the last one. You should be less dependent today than you were yesterday under the ministry of a prophet or a pastor or a teacher. You should be more equipped and more determined and setting your trust and your hope completely on the Father more today as a result of that ministry than you were yesterday. If they are fulfilling the call that they have. The goal here again is that we henceforth, verse 14, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Okay. Because why? A child is more vulnerable. Okay, who needs more support, a child or an adult? Lama, that's right. A child needs more support. A child is more dependent, but also a child is easier to control. And that is part of why people try to pull you out of that relationship with Christ and get you under the law, because you stop growing when you come out of that connection. And if you stop growing, you're drying up and you can be controlled. Yeah. If you stop growing, you are drying up, because you're not connected to the source of life, which is Christ, and then you are easier to control at that place. Okay. All right. So let me ask you a question. Who revealed to Jesus who he was? The Spirit. Yeah. The Spirit. The Spirit and the Word. Who told Jesus what to do? Okay, Luke chapter 4. I'll just show you one example. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay. So, okay. Who showed Paul what he was supposed to do? Anyone? The Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. Now this is Paul writing again. He said, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
මනුෂ්‍ය ප්‍රකාර වූ එකක් නොවන බව නුඹලාට දන්වමි. மகிழ்ச்சியாக ஜேசு கிறிஸ்து சுவாமிக்கு எழுதிராமி கிரிமே நிச மாய மனுஷாங்க லபுவேவார் உகாங்கனு லபுவேவார் நெத்த.
Okay. So, Paul. Okay. Okay, let's try another couple. Moses.
Moses.
Where did the revelation come for what he was supposed to do? He's walking around in the backside of the desert with a few sheep. He kind of figures this is the end of his life and this is what he'll do till he wraps things up. And what happens? God meets him. God speaks to him directly. Joseph. He was the dreamer, yes? And in his dream with God, God showed him and said, here's some things that are going to happen. Okay, Elijah. Peter. Peter, when he's on the roof, what happens when God shows him about the opening up of the gospel to the Gentiles? So if God is speaking directly to His people and showing them and leading and guiding their lives, and if Elijah was a man just like us, just like me, just like you, and he was earnestly praying, and when he prayed, the sky was shut up for 3 years and it didn't rain. So if this is the kind of way that God is, does this look like a pattern in the way that he works with people? And you should expect nothing less. That God will reveal to you by His Holy Spirit the direction and the course of everything that would happen in life. And the life that you live would be lived in Christ Jesus. Because when you are in Christ, you're in a place where you're connected, where you can hear from Him for yourself. Okay. So I think we'll stop there for today. I have more, but we'll save it. We have got a few weeks. So my encouragement to you this day is, one, is that you need no man. The Holy Spirit will teach you when He comes upon you. And beware of the religious systems of men, because the religious systems of men seek to bind you and seek to control you and seek to stamp out the very life that God has given you, the very direction He's leading you. So all of these servants were creative. All of these servants did something that had never been done before. So if there's nothing new under the sun, and only God who is above the sun can show you something new to do that would God would have to be done in this time, you have to hear from Him. So I want to encourage you to dream. Let God reveal these things to you, and He'll by His Spirit show you how to go forward. Okay. Everyone in Christ Jesus is on the same level. We have different responsibilities in the body, but we are all in the same place in Christ Jesus. And if someone tries to lord it over you, you know the system that is coming from. It's not in Christ, it's outside of Christ. Okay? Okay. We'll stop there for now.